The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests and those who are watching on Facebook Live. We're glad you're here. For those of you who are here and like to learn more about our church, I'd invite you to look in the seat rack in front of you where we have Let's Get Acquainted cards. You're welcome to fill one out and leave it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship to give us the chance to know you better and you the chance to ask questions of us. Of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. At this time, too, I'd encourage you to sign the fellowship pads which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign and pass your neighbor, greet any new faces by name during the piece or following worship. If you'd like to know more about what's going on at our church in the coming weeks, you can look in the inside cover of your bulletin. We have announcements of upcoming events and a calendar of events near the back. You may have been receiving electronic communications from the church. We will continue to send those throughout the Advent season to keep you all connected in addition to our midweek newsletter. But there are just a couple of announcements I want to point out to you this morning. The first is you may have seen envelopes that look like these on the table out in the commons, and of course you may have seen them in previous years. Throughout the Advent season, we are collecting our denomination's Christmas joy offering, used to be known as the joy gift offering. This is a special offering that goes to support retired clergy or workers of the church who are in some state of financial need, and we remember their needs this season in particular. If you'd like to give, you're welcome to leave something in the specially marked envelope, or you can give online indicating Christmas joy in the memo line of your online gift as well. We will continue to accept these gifts through the end of the month. As it is the Christmas season too, we continue our preparations. Next week is the big Sunday where our children lead us in worship by telling the Christmas story in our pageant. They rehearse today. I think costumes are out and about, so please be sure to be here and stay for lunch following worship next week as we continue our preparations for Christmas. Now I'd like to invite any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
The Grineos will be hosting a young adults Christmas gathering on December 21. There'll be more information in the midweek news, but young adults, please hold the date.
Thank you, Jeff. Are there any others? Yes, Joanne. We've got one right there.
Thank you. I didn't see you. I just wanted to say that it's not in the bulletin, but the flowers were done by Dave Robinson. They are absolutely beautiful.
I wanted something.
Thank you, Dave, and to Joanne and all who are on our flower committee for the work you all do every week in brightening our worship. Are there any others? Let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. Peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ together.
Please stand for the call to worship. Jesus says, I'm coming soon.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
A voice cries out in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the wolf shall dwell with the lambs. The leopard shall lie down with the kid.
The calf and the lion and the fat calf will lie down together. And a little child shall lead them.
And let us pray. Gracious God, we glorify you. We hear the announcement of the prophets as you are coming to us. By your Spirit, be present in our worship again. Let the words of your promise awaken us to hope. Let the silence of prayer bring us to your peace. Let songs of praise stir us to joy. Let the open arms of this community welcome us to your love. Let all these things prepare us to receive you again. In Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. Holy God, as we expect the coming of Jesus, your Son, we remember that the world you made is not as it should be, and we remember that we are a part of it too. Prophets call us to peace and justice. We prefer our own safety and comfort and sit at ease while creation suffers. We hear stories about people who said yes to your plans. We prefer our own ways and follow the desires of our hearts instead. Angels announce the coming of Jesus with joy and music. We prefer to sit apart where our only song is complaint. Lord, we need you now. We need nothing less than the grace and love of Jesus to renew and restore us, and your forgiveness, which alone can mend our brokenness and return us to you. We pray in the name and in the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. The good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Come on down. Have a seat. Good to see you. All right, I've got a question for you. How many of you are going to be in the Christmas pageant this year? You raise your hand. All right, that's almost everyone. Can you tell me what you're going to be in the Christmas pageant? What character are you going to be? Yeah, Hannah.
An angel.
Yeah, what about?
Wise man,
angel.
A shepherd,
always important.
The star,
ooh, that's fun. What about you?
What do you get to be?
Angel.
An angel? He's just not, okay, well, we'll find out what he is next week. What about you? An angel? Do we have any animals? Who's going to be an animal? Yeah? What animal are you going to be? A lamb? That's always good. Well, I thank you for all of you getting your costumes together and practicing. It's really important what you're going to do next week because you know what the Christmas pageant does? We don't know what Haynes is going to be. We'll find out next week, too. Probably a sheep. It's good that he has older siblings who can tell him what he's going to do. So what are you going to do next week when you're in the Christmas pageant? Why do we do the Christmas pageant every year? Yeah.
So people can get reminded of how Jesus was born and what happened.
That's right. We remember the story of how Jesus was born and all the people who came together and helped. And so you all are very important because you're going to help tell everyone out here just how Jesus was born. And we'll talk about why that's important too. But you think about it this way. Sometimes we're angels and we're shepherds and animals and wise men and all the important characters who are part of that story, but you're important just to be a part of that story here too. And all of us, and we can think about this week and next week, all of us are a part of that story because we're a part of God's story. And that's what it means to come to church every week. We go to show that all these things we think and believe about Jesus means that we're continuing to tell God's story when we gather here and when we read scripture and we sing and pray, but also as we go about our lives. Just like there are characters like shepherds and angels, you are important characters in God's story too. And that Jesus came to get to know you as well. So I thank you for all that you do to help our church, to teach all of us that story, and for all you do to prepare. Will you have a prayer with me? As we get ready for next week, put your hands together and we can close our eyes and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your story and the ways we get to tell it. Help us as we listen and learn and grow in the way of Jesus, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. Right. Will you hold still for just a second while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, so that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Listen for God's word. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with a lamb, and leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus at Christmas, we meet John the Baptist, the prophet who prepares the way. We first have to go through the darkness of preparation before we find the light in the manger. From the Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. For the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, it is only by your grace that we hear you, and the disruptive power of your word that creates and recreates. Speak your word again, that in our listening, seeking, waiting, and wanting, we might hear, find, receive, and enjoy the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Admittedly, I have not seen every Christmas card on the market, but I have yet to see one that includes the preaching of John the Baptist. His winnowing fork is in his right hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Merry Christmas. You may have experienced a strange dissonance saying thanks be to God about that. Sometimes it seems that John does not fit with our festivity, not just at this time of the year, but at any time of the year. In a book of best advice for young clergy, one entry offered by the preacher Joanna Adams points out that those moments of not quite fitting are more revelatory than we suppose. Adams describes her first Sunday as an associate pastor at a downtown church. It was Pentecost, and she had bought a new red dress and was enjoying the lime sherbet and cheese straws down in the fellowship hall, meeting new friends in the midst of celebration. But soon an elder tapped her on the shoulder, interrupting the reverie, and said, "There are some people over there who need to see you," indicating two sad-looking people in the corner. Writes Adams, "My first reaction, which makes me feel ashamed even today, was, who invited them to this nice party?" The two turned out to be homeless, plagued by mental illness, unable to find help. And so on the occasion of the party, Adams and the elder attempted to find a place for the two to stay. The celebration of the church interrupted by the presence of Jesus Christ in the form of a stranger. I think about the weeks ahead of us as a nice long party. It's filled with parties, right? Even at the Granillos on the 21st. You have your office party and family obligations and church events. You have cultural celebrations that include guests like Rudolph and Ebenezer Scrooge and Ralphie from A Christmas Story. You feel festive without even realizing it as you stand in any public place, your foot tapping to some music by compulsion because it's ringing with sleigh bells yet again. The sleigh bells haunt your nightmares. Festivity is not an option at this time of the year. And it is into this celebration that John the Baptist comes. An unwelcome guest, with his locusts and honey he's brought next to the wassail and fudge. And with a leather belt around his waist covering animal skins, not a fur-trimmed velvet suit. These details make John seem strange to us. But they were likely strange to the people of first century Judea, too. His dress may have made him less popular party guest and more person whose only possible habitation could have been the wilderness. And the only comparison we have to the way John looks is the appearance and style of the prophet Elijah, who is described similarly in 1 Kings. Elijah, too, spent most of his life out in the wilderness, an unwelcome guest wherever he went. But here, in this setting, maybe our roles are reversed. We're intruding on John's party, not the other way around. The story tells us that the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. So everyone, city and country, are gathering in John's presence, rich and poor together. Something has brought them in diverse company to listen to John at this time of year. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the tall steeple preachers from well-off Jerusalem and the religious establishment are coming out to John, wondering how this uneducated country bumpkin has emptied their pews and brought everyone down to the river, and they too have decided to get in on it. They're in line for the baptism. And so what brings them together, incidentally, is maybe not John's personal appeal with his wild look in his clothing. He probably had some charisma or swagger, but that's not it. We think that the reason people went to John is because something about his message resonated with them, and he preached it with such forcefulness. And it's really the first bit of preaching we get in any of the Gospels. John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The news is both dire and longed for. Dire in the sense that the pastor Eugene Peterson reminds us we should hear it as if there is an army on the border ready to invade. The world is about to change and nothing will ever be the same. But in a longed for sense, it's confirmation of the good news. It reveals something of what brings people together around John. And it makes the message of the religious establishment seem so toothless in comparison. John says that the world is not as it should be. In preparation for God's world, the world that is coming demands nothing less than repentance. An examination of our own hearts, what within us is good and flourishing, what is keeping us from God's grace, what is broken in us that needs nothing less than God's grace to fix. John calls us to repentance, and in that calling, we hear that word, that we are excited, that we are afraid, that there are lines of division that go right through the middle of our souls. John asks us to examine our consciences in light of the God who is coming. Our repentance is offered as a gift to that God, because God is exactly who we need in return. This shouldn't be a surprising thing to hear in a church. We need to repent. There are things that separate us from God. But maybe we don't hear that message enough. Maybe I don't say it enough. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We confess our sins every week, which is this acknowledgement that there are things in us that keep us from God in our hearts and even at the heart of our lives. But it's only through God-enabled repentance that we can see who we truly are, who God has called us to be. We see that God loves us and forgives us and calls us to new life following in the way of Jesus Christ. That's why we come back every week, because we need to hear that every week. We need to hear what's most true about us, and it causes us to repent. So what do we repent from? We repent from bad habits or habits of temper. Maybe it's a tendency to jealousy or envy or lust or gluttony or anger or selfishness. The old litany of sins is pretty familiar. You don't really need me to repeat them. But maybe that's not descriptive enough for what's really besetting us. Maybe it's that we work hard in our lives, but we're not always sure if it's worthy work for people. Sometimes we do our work because it makes us safe or comfortable, or it stokes our ego. We know that in our lives we have people who depend on us, but we also know that sometimes in our relationships we take without giving. Sometimes our lives become avenues by which we feed ourselves and cover our own deeply felt inadequacies at the expense of someone else. Sometimes we have things in our lives that gnaw against us, and we think of them as defining of who we are, our problems and our struggles, rather than our baptism or our creation or God's grace. Sometimes we describe ourselves with labels that come from anywhere but here, from jobs or families or university alumni associations or political parties or our community roles, anything to distract us from the fact that God has an absolute claim on our lives. Sometimes we get distracted by the fact that things are going really well in our lives, and so we feel that we must be blessed. We're doing something right. God has favored us uniquely among others. And when we feel this way, sometimes we obscure the fact that this is a rare feat, a gift, and maybe a calling to work for the well-being of those for whom that is not the case. There are all sorts of ways that sin can intrude on our lives, and John calls us to repent. It's not just to repent from those obvious vices that get all the headlines, but the slow creep of self-interest that starts to color even the good things about us. So that last example I gave, the thought that things are going well for us, we must be favored by God, that gets at the heart of John's criticism. He criticizes the religious leaders who come to see him. And scholars think that around this time there was an important sociological division among the religious people of Israel. There were the well-off people who prospered in and around Jerusalem, who were well-fed and happy, and had grown rich even through centuries of occupation. They flourished in the imperial system. They built lavish houses around the temple, and the excavations today showed that they lived in resplendent luxury far above what most in their day could imagine or hope for. These are the curious Pharisees and Sadducees who went slumming one Sunday to see John. The majority of the people in this day scratched a living from the earth, paying more than they could afford to the imperial powers, hoping that such pittances would keep the tax man away at least for another season. So while the clergy of the city grew fat on the fat of the land, the country priests and the prophets began to offer an alternative through their criticism. And they found expression in people like John, a voice that could only come from the outside, from the wilderness. It suggests that this is exactly where God's grace was coming to, as a criticism to the excess of the day. These were just the sort of problems that God was coming to solve. So that distinction between rich and poor, even in a religious context, shouldn't be too strange to us. The theologian H. Richard Niebuhr once pointed out that differences in denomination are often characterized by political and sociological factors as much as theological ones. And demographic research bears out the point that people who are religious, at least in this country, are generally more likely to be college educated and to come from two-parent households and reach higher levels of social and professional well-being than those who do not belong to religious communities. We even tend to live longer than other people. And this is doubly true of Presbyterians. Or to put it another way, we might be more familiar with a higher-up religious establishment coming from Jerusalem, going down to the river, than those lost souls who are wandering in the wilderness to John. Maybe that's why we would follow, as we'd want to know what we were missing. And in the end, what we find is that John's presence isn't discomfort or an ill fit for our season, but it's the presence of light and darkness. It's the light that reveals the world is not as it should be, and although many of us often live in the light, we do so in a dark world. The light shines in darkness, and John's words illuminate the truth. While his fire and brimstone preaching may interrupt our renditions of Silent Night, maybe John has a better read on the season and on the nature of the world. John knows that the lament songs of the poor ring louder than sleigh bells. So his call to repentance is a call to each one of us. We're not just people in need of God's grace in our own lives, but we live in a society, in an economy, in a culture that has privileged us, sometimes at the expense of others who need the help of God just as much as we do, and often in even more profound ways. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, means that the old orders of the day are going to be replaced by the kingdom that Jesus brings. For the grieving are comforted, the hungry are filled, the poor in spirit receive the kingdom of God, and the meek inherit the earth. That's the kingdom we're preparing for. Repenting of those parts of ourselves that forget the darkness of Advent as an unwelcome intrusion rather than a clear picture of the world as it waits on its Savior. It doesn't matter that Abraham is our ancestor. It doesn't matter if we belong to the right church or have the right job or have married the right person or have gone to the right school or have made the right moves in life. There are many more people who haven't and who are known and loved by God. Repentance is when we set these things aside so that we can envision them in light of the God who is coming, where gifts are shared and where no one prospers at the expense of another. And so when we drop these parts of ourselves, when we put them in light of the God who is coming, when we turn towards God, we can receive the Savior instead. The Savior who in Jesus Christ is always coming to us, ensuring the fruits of God's love in exchange for our repentance.
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer, first in silence. Holy God, we wander here by different ways, but we're all looking for the same thing. We want lives of meaning and purpose. We want peace in our communities. We want healing in the places where we're broken. We want to know who you are for us in Jesus Christ, your Son. All these things we lift to you now, our hope and our longing, our doubt and our grief, trusting that by the power of your Spirit, you will hear us and will answer. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. God, in this season, as days grow darker, we pray for your light of hope, that it would meet us here in this place as we read scripture and sing songs and enter into prayer to listen for your word. Sometimes we admit that word is difficult to hear. Sometimes in the busyness of our lives, other noises drown out the songs of angels and the music of heaven, and we lose ourselves in the activity of the world. Help us to find our way back onto yours. We pray that our way of weariness would turn into your paths of peace. We long to follow your way through the wilderness, to enter into the presence of Jesus, and to find your love for us in the manger. Hear our searching cry for you. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. God, we know that there are worse obstacles in the world than the ones that we sometimes face. Today, we are especially mindful of the vulnerable in our community. We remember that your parents were refused shelter and that you entered creation through a stable. We pray that these reminders would speak to our compassion and hospitality, that we would be mindful of those who have less than us and work for a world where the poor receive good news. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. In our own lives, we need your healing and peace too. We each have burdens and pains that we nurse in this season and pray that you will come to those places of our deepest pain. We know that this time is difficult, especially for those who grieve. And so for them, we ask the comfort of your Spirit and renew the promise of love within them. And we're mindful of those who are sick and in need of your healing, and we remember your promise to meet us in places of pain. We pray for healing for those who suffer and are fighting illness. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. At the last, Lord, we celebrate with you this season, trusting that you are with us and preparing us through this place to receive you. So we thank you for the dedication of singers and volunteers, for the gifts of new members, for the joy of giving, for the laughter of children, for all that speaks to us here of your love which is coming. Even now, come, Lord Jesus. Two candles are lit, Lord, but we hope for something more. Hear all our prayers as the age-old cry of your people, come, Lord Jesus. Expecting his coming, we pray in the way Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude for the God who is coming even now, let us worship God with our gifts. Reflect his light to a dark world, that the poor would hear good news, that we would live in the way you intend, following paths of peace in Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. We prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, not in a world that is light, but one that is dark. And we hope for the light that shines in darkness. So live and prepare and share that light which is coming even now. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.